In this episode, Sam and I chat about what 2025 might have in store, the heartbreak and healing that comes from losing a beloved pet like Sunny Banana, and of course, aliens and air fryers somehow make their way into the conversation today. We also share updates about our pets and some exciting plans for future podcast guests and topics. If you enjoy the podcast, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, and leave us a glowing review. It helps us reach more people in the industry with this resource so we can all grow and develop together. Enjoy and welcome back. Hello! Welcome back to season 4 of the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast. Wild.
Wild.
I'm Max, the social media manager for Therapy Dogs Australia, and with me is the wonderful Sam King, the owner of Therapy Dogs Australia. So how are you going, Sam?
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Wow.
Welcome to 2025.
Where has the time gone?
What do you think, what do you think's like going to happen this year, like in the world? Because it seems like potentially a wild time.
Oh,
might
my
be a
goodness.
Wild ride.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think ever since 2020, we're just now primed and ready for the next
We've been desensitized to the chaos. And so, yeah, now we just like watch things. But yeah. Especially America is like, telling people now, and it's like, oh, okay, well, all right, no one cares, we just don't care. They're like, where's aliens? And we're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
like, all right,
yes, yeah,
I guess sorry to all those people we called crazy for saying they were abducted. I guess that was true. Whoops.
Yeah, that was quite a big moment that just passed under the radar, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, like, as and how,
by the way, you're all right.
Why is that not on the news? Not that I watch the news, but why is that not what's on the news every day of like, where are the aliens? Like, we're trying to make contact, or like, we're building a big cannon so we can shoot aliens. Like, why is it not that? Like, do you know what I mean? Are we just like, oh.
No, all we have to hear about is TikTok being banned. And
yeah, I know. I'm so glad we didn't waste so much time on TikTok. I think they're getting it back, but.
Yeah, it's just come back online. It's only down for a day and now it's back.
So when something like that happens, though, I'm like sus on like what else happened yesterday or whenever
100%. What is Trump's like sudden decision that he wants to delay the ban? He was all for it. Like,
but
stuff's
what,
going on.
What I always just think is a distraction. Like, What else got not banned on the TikTok not banned day or like whatever, like something like that? Like, I just am always like, okay,
it does feel like that though. It's like, oh, everybody look over this way and we're just gonna be busy doing this thing over here.
Yeah,
look over here,
it keeps happening. But I also don't care. Like, I'm like, whatever,
it's like one big reality TV show.
Yeah,
just like always on,
whatever, okay. Oh well. So I'm just, my strategy is to just, like everyone else, just pretend all that's not happening. And just, I'm just going to keep doing my day-to-day stuff until the aliens get here.
Yeah, yeah. And then you might take a day off.
Well, yeah. Well, then when they get here, I'll be like, cool. So is this like a destroy the whole planet thing? Yeah. Or are we like,
you're going to be friends?
Do we still go to work every day or like, what do we do now?
Are we integrating?
Are we going all to live on Mars? Like, do you have another planet that you're going to take us to because of all of the CO2 emissions on this one? Like, maybe they do. You know, maybe greenhouse gases.
So many questions.
Yeah, not an issue, because I'll just be like, come on, guys, get on the ship. And it's just a magical ship and it takes everybody and we just go to a new planet and it's already got all your same stuff there. Just a new, like a new simulation, just a parallel universe.
I quite like that for 2025.
I think that'd be all right.
Yeah, you know? I think that would be a good event.
Just maybe shake it up a bit, like on the trip.
Yeah, because we're not shaken up enough. as it
no,
is.
Because we're also too desensitized. We've been dulled.
Yeah, we need to really take it up a notch.
Yeah, we need to, you know, shake things up a bit so we can get some dopamine flowing again, you know?
Yeah. Got to get that flowing.
Yeah.
So we've got, another season here. We had some people submit a few suggestions for the podcast, so we're going to go through those as well. That's at some fun. Point. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about them. Definitely. Keep them coming, guys, because we're happy to answer questions or hot topics. Yeah. What are the topics out there on the ground?
Other than aliens.
Yeah.
Actually, the insurance post kicked up a bit of a stir, didn't it?
Pulled out.
For the weekend?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Might have to do a part two episode on that.
Yeah. We've talked about that for a while, trying to get someone on that knows how to talk about it. Like, we're not really the right people to give out that sort of advice, but we'll see what 2025 brings.
Yeah.
See what the aliens bring us in the way of podcast guests. If you guys
aliens are just going to be involved in everything that we do here from now on.
what if every household gets an alien, one alien,
like a pet alien? And I think we're going to be the pets.
Yeah, but like that's what it could be though. Like, so you get every household gets an alien,
like a foster.
And that's they're just the adult in the house. Like they're the adult, and they make all the they make all decisions, and they guide us, and they show us what to do and how to make a budget and all that sort of stuff. And then we just all get back on track. Like.
That sounds like AI, actually.
Well, I think we need
aliens for that.
Well, maybe it's alien intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Oh. What about that, Max?
Mind blown.
What if it's that? What if I get someone here living in the house that tells me that it's not appropriate to air fry your food for 3 meals a day? And then I just receive some guidance in that kind of manner, and I'm back on track.
Would you accept it though?
Yeah, because they've got superpowers, so you have to. They are not positive only aliens. They're balanced aliens. So you do what they say. I would thrive. I would honestly thrive.
You would. Oh God, it would put my mind at ease to have someone else making all those decisions.
Right.
Just tell me which way to go. What to do.
They're like trying to use their mind power, whatever control, to make us make decisions from whatever universe they're in, but we're all just on TikTok the whole time. That's why they had to ban it. But it was like we got grounded.
You're not listening.
The world got grounded from TikTok for 24 hours or however long it was. It's just a warning of like, you better start using your brains again so we can tap into your mind control. Otherwise, we're taking away your TikTok forever, and we're going to take all your other shit away as well, and yours will be grounded.
Oh, gosh.
I welcome it. So that's
recorded. I think you'd be in your element.
Yeah. Set me up.
Yeah. Fresh 25.
A little bit less decision-making responsibility would be great. So we finished up last year. Probably people were wondering if they were going to hear from us again after our last podcast last year. We didn't really know at the time, which is why we didn't say this is our final podcast for the year. But obviously,
I don't think we've ever done that.
Yeah, we sort of just are like,
meh. That's it.
I don't think anyone will notice if we come back. Why I need my alien intelligence to make us a podcast? How many times have we tried to make a podcast schedule and we still don't have one?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's hard when you've also got guest speakers.
5 or 6 times, maybe?
We do our best.
Yeah. Well, the podcast is still here.
Yeah.
So we're doing okay. But if we had alien intelligence scheduling the podcast for us, it'd probably be weekly and like on time every week, just fully organized, but that hasn't happened yet. We'll have to see what 2025 brings.
BBC.
Obviously we finished up the year with the passing of the wonderful Sunny Banana. Thank you to everybody that reached out and, that listened to the podcast, because it was very therapeutic for me to do a send off. Even though it was hard, and it was almost like a, so I listened to it a few times, which really helped, me as well. So it was like watching a movie, you know, like, yeah, you look back at photos or whatever, but just the story, like, and I, yeah, it really helped me. It was almost like a narrative therapy type processing where it was like, so I'm facing it and I'm, you know, like that's, this is the story and there's so many good parts of it. So,
so meaningful.
Yeah. It was really quite a useful thing for me to do. So I really appreciate having a platform to for me to do that, and for people that listened to it as well and emailed me and sent condolences and stuff like that and shared your own stories. And quite a few people found the podcast helpful to process some of their own grief as well about dogs that they've lost. And some people felt maybe a bit of pre-grief for understanding, you know, being faced with that reality that, like, we're all going to lose them one day, which we like to not really think about that much. So, but it is one of the curses of the dog is that they don't live long enough. You know, everyone says that. So
yeah,
it's a part of it. It's all a part of it. You will find love again, you know, like you might not have the same relationship ever again with another dog, but you will find love again in another dog if you allow it. I believe that
you can have multiple beautiful loving relationships.
Yeah, and they can be different and still be awesome.
Yeah, they're beautiful messages from people.
Yeah, really nice. I'm doing well. So I made it to the end of the year. I had to do a fair bit of self-care and, like, I did grieve. I really did. She got me. And I had not experienced that before. So, yeah, that was a learning curve as well. And I feel like now I have a better understanding of grief. Good timing probably for the year that we then had Christmas holidays after that. We have put up, I've done the whole building a sunny shrine and put up pictures and stuff.
I see one photo behind you.
Yeah, there's one behind me now.
So beautiful.
Just a lovely one. Some of my friends, my beautiful friend Tim, did me a watercolor of Sunny and brought it over. It's beautiful.
Oh, like, that's lovely.
Absolutely beautiful. And Anna had, like, her friend who's an artist draw Sunny as well and gave that to me, and it was all very beautiful. And yeah, it was very, very lovely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put the pictures up. There was a lot of, I guess, like, I kind of hold emotions, like, physically in my body as well, sort of probably even more so.
Yeah.
So I was a bit funny, like, just like sort of sick, like sort of nauseous and funny sick like that for a couple of weeks.
I get that too, actually. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. But it's in a kind of a weird spot.
Like weird. Like
you can kind of feel like it's physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Presence.
It like impacted my appetite and like I felt sick when I ate, which is weird for me. So, and then, yeah, I was still having like times pop up. I'd get all teary and upset, stuff like that. Then we put up the last, like, we hung the pictures that are in my dining room. And I was like, oh, this is a bit emotional. Like,
yeah,
got a bit sad and upset again. And so my partner was hanging out with me and, like, we're both a bit emotional. And then since we hung them up, that was it. I haven't cried since, which is so weird. Cause I was like, when we were doing that, I was like, man, this is like, my partner was like, is this a good idea to hang these here? Like, cause I had them sitting on the table, the dining table. So my kitchen dining lounge area is open plan. So when you're in the kitchen, the dining area is right in front of you. And then the lounge room with the TV is right in front of that. So it's like a rectangle and it's like all in one room basically. So that's why I put them on that wall, because you can see them like from everywhere.
Yeah.
So I had them on the dining table and I had to put them down, like face down for a bit.
Yeah.
I was waiting for us to, we had to get something special to hang them up. Something. I don't remember what.
Like hooks, you mean, or?
Something like that. It was something about the wall or whatever, or electricity or in the wall. I don't know. Studs? I don't know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The ones that like open? or something?
It was like these kind
of. Well, you
have
to get the stud detector.
You can't really just put these on 3M hooks. Like they're that size. So they're like A3, like sort of size frames. Sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't really just chuck it on the wall. Like I would have just like nailed a nail into the wall and hung it. My partner's a chibi. So he's like, I don't know. And then there was some reason and something we had to buy or whatever and something, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it took a while to get around to it. I had to face the pictures down because I was like getting bloody triggered. So I was like, I just think I'm just going to put these down, like face down for a few days. And then, so then that was the first conversation around like, well, they're going to be on the wall there. And I was like, yeah, but that's okay. And he was like, and that's like, because I had them up on the table. So they were taking up like the whole table. So I was like, I don't know, they were like right close to my face, I guess. I don't know why it was like that. Anyway, so I put them down. He's like, I don't know about this wall spot. And I was like, this will be a sunny shrine wall. So they're going up. So we put the hang the pictures up and I'm a mess. Like,
oh, I would have been as like, well.
Like, are we sure about this wall? And I was like, I'm going to be fine. Shut up and hang the pictures.
No. I'm fine.
Is there anything we have that we can put in the air fryer? What a snack. Classic. So did I mention that? Did I mention that like the week Sunny died, I went and bought an air fryer?
Oh, is this a new thing?
The worst.
Yeah, you've already mentioned it.
I've ever made.
I'm thinking of getting one. So
I boiled eggs in it this morning. Yeah, I guess you can't say you boiled eggs in it. I made boiled eggs in the air fryer this morning.
And
legit.
It worked. Did it work? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So
I need to adjust
my settings. Really use it for anything.
I'm trying to redirect the use of the air fryer from evil to good because previously all I've been putting in there is like cheese sticks.
I love that. It's always been marketed to like be healthy, like no oil. And
so if you go to the freezer section, which I never shop in the freezer section, like we like, yeah, anyway. But anyway, there's all these snacks in there that you put in the air fryer. It's amazing. And it takes like 2 seconds for like to cook all these like amazing snacks. And it's delicious.
That's but so tempting.
You should not live on that for like a month. Which
probably
is
not.
Well, I was like, my dog died, so I'm getting an air fryer and a heap of snacks. Like that's it. And then I was sick. And so I was like, all these snacks aren't even delicious. And then I was not sick. And I was like, the snacks
this
are
is amazing.
And then got in a real rabbit hole of like, what else can you put in here?
What have you tried? Have you tried everything?
Pretty funny. I tried to make an open sandwich melt, like with cheese on the top. You can't do that in there.
What happened? Did the
I opened
burn?
It like a few minutes later to see like just how it was going, but that if it must have like it's an air fryer, so it must have like a lot of air that like
so the bread just went,
the cheese off the top just went flying and it was like just stuck to the side of it. I was like, oh.
Oh, okay.
The only reason I made this was so I could eat the cheese. Like
yeah, it's just blown everywhere.
It just blew off. And I was like, oh, all right. Damn it. Fine.
Creative.
Yeah. So like I just Googled today, like I'm gonna put a corn cob in there.
Oh yeah.
And like roast a corn cob.
That should work, surely. That'd be nice.
Did I mention previously we've got roadworks near our house and it takes forever now to get out here. And since that happened, all of the food places have broken up with us for delivery. We cannot get yummy food delivered, which was like always every weekend, usually pretty much every weekend, like once we would be like, that would be our like splash out was like, we're getting takeout delivered.
Yeah, it's such a treat.
Yeah. So, and I'd only get certain food, like, because we're a bit away from the places. So you can only get certain stuff that travels well, like Chinese food, you know, like stuff like that. Anyway, none of them deliver out here now. And this roadwork's going to be for months, right? So this is part of my motivation. I'm like, fine, I'll make my own snack foods. And then I was like, problem with that is that you have access to it all the time. So
yeah, exactly. It's not going to just be one and done in the week. Oh dear.
Anyway,
oh no.
I'm trying to really put a curb on that. That's why I'm trying to put things in there now that are a little bit more sensible, like eggs and corn and zucchini. Have you had zucchini fries?
Yeah, I have, but I haven't made them obviously in an air fryer. They're spectacular. I had them before. They were really good.
I am addicted. Addicted?
I would love to be able to make my own. Maybe I should get an air fryer just for that.
Well, my zucchinis didn't grow. My garden. I got one massive zucchini actually, and I made fritters. But I got 10,000 cucumbers, which is annoying because I don't need them, but that plant has now died. I think caterpillars got it. But my eggplants are going off, and you can use eggplant for not that much, but you can make moussaka. So I taught myself how to make moussaka over the holidays, and it was
epic. Is it
so delicious?
Yum.
It's so delicious. And I made it all from scratch. Like including my little cheese sauce, lasagna sauce thing. So now I'm obviously a cooking genius.
Yeah, so you've really filled that last little bit with homesteading now. So
this
you've
is
got
the food
going now.
Because when the aliens get here, I'll be like, okay, yes, you can zap me with your laser gun. Or would you like
I'll
some
make
moussaka?
You moussaka.
And once they taste that moussaka, they'll be like,
you'll be best friends.
Let her live. 100%.
I love eggplant.
Me too.
Roast eggplant is just so phenomenal. Okay. Have you had eggplant and curries?
I tried to roast the eggplant before I realized. So you have to salt it before you roast it, I think, because we tried to roast it and it was just all mushy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have to salt it before. Well, you roast it to make the moussaka. So you like slice it up and then you salt it for like an hour and it draws all the moisture out, and then you like rinse it and then you put it in the oven and roast it, and then it's ready to be your moussaka slices.
Yum.
Delicious. So anyway, I'm growing, I've got nearly enough eggplants to make another moussaka. So it's very exciting every day. I'm like, is today the day? Check my eggplants. Not quite.
Yum.
Which is pretty funny. Anyway, I can't remember why we're talking about that, but the
air fryer grief. Putting the pictures on the wall.
So once we put the pictures on the wall, had my little meltdown, and then I have cried, haven't cried since. So that's interesting. That was before Christmas. It was just surprising because the pictures are on the wall, which we thought, I wonder how this is going to go. But it's been okay. So that's good. I can think about Sunny and talk about Sunny and stuff. Oh, it was a tricky. So I would like to do on the podcast for 2025. I don't want to talk too much about this now because I want to get someone on to talk about it. So if anyone has experience retiring a therapy dog, losing a therapy dog, so the death of a therapy dog, changing workplaces with a therapy dog, or going on maternity leave with a therapy dog, and would like to talk about the impact that that has on you, the dog, and the clients, and how you managed it, what you would do differently next time, what worked well, et cetera, et cetera. Can you email us, please? Email Max. She's media@therapydog.com.au. Because I would love to do an episode that's not just like me and what I reckon and what I did and what worked and what didn't work. And yeah, so I don't want to go too much into it now because I think it's worth its own, because I have been talking about it to people too. And also, like, we need to discuss like progression planning for the retirement and death of therapy dogs, because it's something that it's hard to face, but it's the reality. And like, just quickly, my journey was a lot easier because I've already got my next two dogs, you know, like,
yeah,
I've still got two dogs, so
routine is there.
Absolutely. And like for the client, you know, like it's, I definitely think I got out of it a heap easier. So than what people with one dog would have experienced. So yeah, can you please email us and we'll organize something? Have I said to you, Max, as well? Just to finish that segment of our conversation. Thank you, everybody. I'm doing pretty well. We miss Sunny, obviously. There was definitely some client moments that happened. Well, I'll save them for when we discuss it in more detail. But
yeah,
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
That's good.
Podcast ideas for 2025. One, I'm already totally overwhelmed with all the stuff that I didn't do in 2024, December.
Oh, dear.
You know how you're like, it's nearly the end of the year. I'll do that in January. Now it's January. Now it's the 20th. Isn't it? It's like the 20th of January.
Yeah, it's like almost the end of January.
What? So all I've achieved so far is writing lists.
Writing lists. I procrastinate over lists. Writing lists.
These are all my lists.
Procrastination.
There's not even anything about like what our podcast today on these lists. I'm just holding them because they're my lists.
They look very important.
Yeah. It looks like I'm holding something that's relevant to what we're doing, but it's not. It's just they're on my desk and they're my lists. So I'm holding them. And while I was holding them, I actually accidentally ripped them all. So
oh dear.
Guess what that means?
They look like they've been very used.
Guess what that means, Max? I get to write them out again. Clear my day. I also enjoy the lists. So anyway, 2025, I've got like big ideas, but let's all just
calm keep it down.
In check, okay? Like, just keep your expectations in check. Because chances are it's going to be a lot like 2024, which is a lot
with
of
aliens
list writing. If the aliens could get here in the next 7 to 14 days,
that'd
be
really
great.
Helpful.
Thank you. They'll get here and I'll be like, I can't go with you. Look at all this stuff I've got to do. And they're like, she's got receipts. She's got receipts. Look, she's very busy. And I'll be like, see, I'm just doing all this stuff all day. And then they'll leave and I'll just go straight back outside and water my eggplants.
Midway through 2025, it'll be opening a new branch, Therapy Aliens Australia. Sam's made contact.
They'll have to ring me.
Yeah.
I could write it on my list, call the aliens back. No.
Make them wait.
That means nothing, but it's just written down now. Anyway, so did I say to you at any point that I think it would be fun to do a Shit Happens podcast episode?
No.
Did I dream that I said that?
Yeah, no, you haven't said that to me. That sounds amazing.
Do you know what I think would be fun? A anonymous submission through like Google Forms or like something anonymous where we send it out to everyone and we're like, so what has happened that's like shit? Like what has happened that's been bad? And make it anonymous because I don't want to know who you are, just in case.
Makes it easier on all of us if we
don't
know.
I want plausible deniability on the crazy shit that you and your dog have been doing. So don't tell me who you are because I'll have to, if you tell me something crazy, I'll have to be like, mate.
You'll have to reach out.
Mate, come on. That's
a great idea. I would love, that would be great. I think everyone would really enjoy it.
I think so too. It's always just me being like, yeah, so then this happened and it was wild. Like, So I don't, you know, like I'm like, come on.
And there's so many things I reckon that would be like people wouldn't want to like attach their name to that would be really helpful 100%. And interesting for people. Yeah.
100%. And I'd be happy for people to like, I'd be happy to say attach your name if you're, because what I thought would be fun is if we could like choose a few and like get a few people on and actually talk about it. But I can't trust the insight or self-reflection is there for everyone,
yeah,
to choose whether or not to put their name on it. So I just don't want to accidentally trap someone who just thinks this is like within the realm of acceptable. I'll put my name on it. And then I go,
No, I think that's a good idea.
Not, no. So I think
we need to talk about this.
So I think make it like fully anonymous and then we can just read them out. But those stories that I tell, and I've only got maybe 10 or 15 stories over the last 10 or 12 years of working every day with my dogs. So there's not that many, but they're always everyone's favorite stories when I am facilitating the courses, is like all the crazy shit that's happened. And they, the reason that it's good to tell them, I think, is that they're learning moments. So when you keep if you keep it quiet to just you, which I understand, because don't tell me, just in case I have to be like, that's not on. I get it that you might not want to like tell anyone, but it's a learning opportunity. Plus, so other people can learn from like what you did that you probably could have done differently, or what you learned from it, or whatever. But also, it doesn't get talked about what these dogs go through. All that you see on the media or whatever about therapy dogs, which I think has settled down a bit over the last couple of years. But I think what you see is, oh, look, the dogs are like making everyone so happy. Like, oh, like, yay, like, look at the dog, yay. Without fully understanding and acknowledging, there's things that happen in the dog's day from time to time that are uncomfortable for the dog.
Yeah.
They might be offensive to the dog. There might be things that we are against our rules for the dog. You know, like, so if, particularly people working in schools, like I know that they've always got rules for interacting with the dog. So those get broken. So I think we just need to talk about stuff and, you know, help people know and understand that. I don't want to scare people off, which does sometimes accidentally happen. But I think it would be great to share that information a bit more and, you know, help people to understand, even other dog trainers that are like helping us and like, you know, helping people to raise their dogs to hopefully be a therapy dog and come and do our courses, or they're doing our assessments or whatever, to help them really get an insight into like, these are the types of the things that the dogs endure. So some of it will be, you know, like crazy stuff people do, but also some crazy thing has happened, but you've had some major victory out of it, for example. So
if you hopefully have, if it is something absolutely shocking that it's finished with a learning, like acknowledgement that that was a lesson.
Most of the time it does. So that's kind of like where it's, I think, really fun to talk about, is because did I tell you that Nala grabbed one of the baby chickens?
Oh my goodness, no. Nala.
She gave it back.
Was it in one piece?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just in her mouth for like 1 second. Yeah, it was fine. She's a Labrador, so
yeah, exactly.
They're fairly, fairly gentle in the mouth. Yeah. Anyway, that was in a client session. So
oh no.
I can't like obviously divulge. I won't divulge anything else. But it wasn't a negative outcome.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Because that was recent. So there wasn't a negative outcome at all. There was a positive outcome. For a couple of reasons. So yeah. But you can't present that in your how to be an animal therapist book or whatever it is that you're doing, you know, like it's not in the manual, you know, like,
yeah.
So it's one of those things that sometimes stuff happens, but it has how did you put a spin on it? How did you handle it? How did it become something positive? You know, was there a learning outcome for the participant? My situation, I think, was like really a modeling thing. And like naughty Nala is when she does her best work, when she's naughty Nala. Like that's, yeah. you know,
stuff to talk about.
It, absolutely, and to relate to as well. So it wasn't a bad thing at all.
How did you handle that in the moment though?
I was standing right there.
You just walk us through the steps of?
Yeah, I was standing right there.
But what were you doing? Like, how did that happen?
Well, I put the baby chicken. You know, I was breeding all those baby chickens.
Yeah.
Some of them are so cute, and some of them are ugly as hell. Anyway, so I brought a baby chicken in and put it on the couch.
Okay, so you were like, inside.
Yeah, I was like, look at this baby chicken. It was like 2 days old. Because the brood box is like right outside, you know. Mm. And I was like, check this baby chicken out. And then Nala was just
checking out the baby chicken.
She let her intrusive thoughts win. And she just grabbed it in her mouth completely. And I said, no! And then she spat it out.
Oh, what a good girl.
I said, Nala, that's naughty. And it was hilarious. So, yeah. And the baby chicken was like, none the wiser. Like, it was like,
whoa.
What?
Yeah. Like, roller coaster moment.
What's going on?
Why am I wet?
They just got abducted, you know? But that's exactly what happens every time I pick them up out of the brood box. They're like, holy crap. Like, I'm 75,000 feet in the air. Like, they don't know that. Like, yeah. So, anyway, it was fine. But then all the modeling comes around. Yeah. Like, you know, gentle, you know, like, and don't freak out at the dog or the situation or, you know, all those sorts of things. And then the intrusive thoughts, the impulsivity, there's elements that you can pull out of that behavior that might be quite relevant to someone. And then now we have an opportunity to have seen how I handle that when there might be like some challenging things that pop up. And so that can be a real opportunity for someone to see some modeling basically happening. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that turned out to be, a lovely opportunity.
I think most things can, as long as they end well, you know, like if she ate the chicken, that's probably a bit more
different result.
Yeah. Mm. Than everything else. But
so did you let her then come back and sniff the chicken?
Yeah.
So it's she walks around.
She walks around the baby chickens all day. Yeah, like never grabs the chickens. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that's like, why did that happen? Like, you know, why did that happen in this exact moment where it's incredibly useful for that to happen? Like, that's weird. Oh, well, I'll take it, you know? Mm. So, yeah, she's like, I had baby chickens in their little dog yard that they've got, where their dog door is, like living out there, not in a cage. And the dogs were just with them all day. Like, I'd go to work, the dogs just out with the chickens all day. Like, they're so fine with the chickens. Huge. So I don't know why she picked it up, but she did. So obviously, you know, that's probably not very nice for the chicken, but like I said, like, I don't think the chicken really noticed. I think it was fine. It wasn't like I
wouldn't
upset.
Have probably been able to comprehend anything.
Stupid, But anyway, it was fine. So I think that's a fun topic to do if we figure out a way to get people's stories.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think we can figure that out.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
What were the suggestions? Do you know?
They're kind of all over the place, but we can take a little peek here.
A list?
No, they're all over the place.
So this is a list writing opportunity.
Exactly. This is a learning experience. This is a positive outcome.
Funny you should say that because in my stack of lists, I have blank three lists where I can write a new list. So I'm very excited.
Brilliant. Teamwork. Okay. So we've got dog's body language. Discussion around dog's body language.
Sounds like a nightmare. Okay. we need visuals.
yes, happy to do. That's true. Hang on, let me just grab the other ones. I'm just going to read what Heidi's written here. I'd love to hear of ideas for things to do with school dogs and anything related to maintaining the level of training required. Also, enrichment ideas would be awesome, including things we can use in our workplaces. That'd be quite a fun one, I reckon. Then Roz has also suggested navigating resistance risk aversion in workplaces, even when you're a certified team.
Oh, like workplaces, not the workplaces risk averse.
Mm. And feel free, whoever's listening, to send us more suggestions. Always send us more suggestions.
Or if you think you have something to add to these topics, hit us up and let us know. Did you have a risk-averse workplace and you had to bust it? Because I know a few of you out there who had to bust it to get it over the line. So that might be something that you can share your experience of. Come and talk to us about it. And help guide people, because it is very overwhelming when people are first graduating. They've just learnt all this stuff and now they're trying to advocate to their workplace who are putting up barriers, and they're trying to break those down but have a bit of like, it's new to me too, like, you know, kind of thing. So if they can have someone guide them who's done it before and has a bit more sort of confidence and can answer these questions easily that the workplace has and blah, 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 that might be really helpful. So the thing about schools is, do you know who has previously agreed to come and talk to us but hasn't done it? Is Barbara. Let's get her. She does our like group supervision with us like every month, and always has amazing insights to share with her dog Honey. The thing about schools is that there's lots of different roles. So sometimes it's the well-being person that's got the dog, sometimes it's a teacher that's got the dog, sometimes it's a admin or leadership role. Like sometimes the principal has the dog, which I think is wild. Fine with me, but like wild to try and manage. It's a bit all over the place. But I think, if there's anyone that is particularly motivated, I think Barbara's in the well-being. I think that's the easiest place to be with the dog, because it's the most flexible role.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
When you say well-being, like the counselling department?
Yeah. It's the school counsellor, the school psychologist, the guidance counsellor.
Yeah.
Who has the dog. I just think that role has a little bit more flexibility than like a teacher who's got whatever class all day long from 9 till 2:30 or whatever it is that they do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Mm. So what about some like education interventions? Yeah. I feel like sometimes people aren't too sure about how to do an education intervention.
Yeah.
Like what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, there's a million things that you can do. But yeah, that it's hard to think of ideas for some people. So, and whereas other people have got like heaps of ideas. What about if we could get like some education people and see if they've got some resources that they'd like to share.
That's a great idea.
And they come and do like, you know, come and talk to us for like 10 minutes or whatever and share their resource. And we do like 10 of them or something.
Mm.
And then we like put all the resources together and share that with the podcast. And then it's like got like a multi, like it's really something people can implement.
Yeah.
As well.
That's a great idea.
We could do something like that.
I think that'll be good. That would be all in the same place.
All right. So if you're an education intervention person, and you got something that you think we would like to see and that you would like to share, can you hit us up, please? And we will be in
touch. I'll do a post about it as well.
Good idea. Oh, actually, so Tim from Diverse Dogs is going to come on as well. He's going to come on late last year, just got really busy, but that will happen. It might even be our next podcast. That'll happen fairly early this year.
That'll be great.
Is going to take us through some like breath work, regulating yourself to regulate your dog content.
Cool.
And he and I are going to co-facilitate a seminar on that, probably on the Gold Coast. So that'll be exciting on like regulating yourself to regulate your dog.
That'll be really cool. Is it?
Yes.
Are you going to have like a Zoom option as well? Or would it just be in person?
Don't know.
That'll be great.
Not sure. It's all sort of Tim's idea. So
yeah,
we'll talk to him and see what the plan is. Yeah. That's exciting. So other things for 2025, I've got a few sort of resources that I want to put together for our teams, just to help continue along their learning and representing our industry, basically. I think we need to work together. I'd really like to offer a few PD type workshops as well, just to get people together and talking about stuff and learning about things and stuff. Group supervision's back.
That's 3rd of February.
The 3rd of Feb. Places will fill. There are a couple of people that do that every month, and it's a max of 5. So if that's your plan, make sure that you don't forget to register for those. If they get consistently full, we will offer another time. But yeah, just remember to register for those. Dog school is going strong. I really struggle with doing anything at night. And dog school is at night, but I get like a second wind and then hyperactivity kicks in and then I'm having the best time and I don't let anyone log off until like 8:30. So so
fun.
Pretty funny. Not if you're not into that kind of thing, then it's less funny. But puppy school, 6 o'clock every week for anyone whose dogs are between 8 and 16 weeks old. Adolescent school is 7 p.m. These are Queensland times. 7 p.m. fortnightly on Mondays. And there's a max of, must be 10.
I'm not sure, actually.
In that class, but your dogs are in there from 17 weeks to 12 months. So you've got like months to be able to check in and ask questions and show us videos and stuff like that.
It's one of our like best resources, yeah, in my opinion.
It is like such good value for money.
Amazing.
It costs $250 for the, you get this, like it's like a 4-hour webinar. Remember when we did that? It went forever.
So long, like so much.
Long-ass webinar. You get access to our entire adult dog training library, like, because we could not be bothered making another one. So you just get that one. And then you get those classes fortnightly for, what is that, like 8 months? Like, what?
Yeah. It's, and you can use it for, like, feedback on the course when you kick, like, when you start the course, like.
People use it for, you know?
Training,
like when are we ready to do our course and what can we learn, and you know, like it's like all
the best thing ever
in there. Problem behaviors, all that sort of stuff, like it's all in there. So those classes are like, yeah, time for dealing with adolescent dogs, which is crazy. Plus when people buy the puppy and adolescent together, it's like $375, which means that it's way cheaper than $250 for that whole thing.
So much value. So much.
So much value.
Awesome.
so much value that it makes me think, so I just make that like $500 or like do a monthly subscription or something, but I can't be bothered. So you're very safe right now. If you're listening to this, and that's not even on one of my lists. It's not even written down as an idea. So
there's no physical manifestation.
There's no, to set up a subscription would be smart, but that sounds like a bit of effort. So that's probably not going to happen. Just like giving away our whole adult dog library. Probably not that smart, but to make another one, fair bit of effort. So she ain't happening. So there you go. Yeah, crazy to not be in that, but those classes book out. So I just have to keep an eye on them too. Sometimes people accidentally book in twice to the same week and then that takes up a spot. So I do try and look ahead and check those. And we're just going to have to tighten up on people, you know, like making sure that they give us enough notice to cancel so that people can get in. But generally speaking, it works pretty good. We don't really have people missing out. And there's like a whole, all these months worth of classes that you can book. So they're definitely not booked out for like 3 months. That never happens. So no. Yeah, you can get in and have a look and secure yourself some times in there. We don't need to see adolescent dogs every fortnight. Like they definitely don't need to see them every week. Every fortnight is fine. Once a month would be enough for people. Like you're working with them at home. Most people are engaged with a face-to-face trainer as well, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, plenty of support there. Adult dog school has really picked up. So that used to be either That's like awesome. No one's using it or like one person's using it. It's just me and one person hanging out for an hour talking mostly about my dogs. So so they're regularly fully booked now. Which is great. We have another dog trainer who is doing those with us. She's a trainee dog trainer, Bethany, who is one of our previous graduates. So she's doing her dog training certificate now. So she's sitting in on the classes with us as well and offering us her insights and experience too. So that's fun. That's a bit of fun to see. A familiar face. The people in puppy school, so by the time you've done, like if you do puppy school from 8 weeks to 16 weeks, you've spent 8 weeks with me, just like, and I'm like having the time of my life because it's after 5 p.m. and I've lost my mind. Because I'm so tired. I'm always super tired by the end of the day. And then, you know, how you get your second wind kicks in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, woo! So anyway, you've spent 8 weeks with me and then you get to spend all those 8 months. So there's a couple of people that have like stuck with it and they're like, yeah, they're good on them. Good on them.
Yeah, that's great.
But it means that by the time you get to the like your course or whatever, like I've known you for a year, you know, like.
So which is great.
It's pretty fun. I actually really enjoy like and watching the dogs grow up and seeing them learn and all that stuff. It's pretty fun. So I enjoy that.
I was going to ask about the farm stay as well. Is that coming back?
I asked myself that. Might have been the day before yesterday when I was walking Kiki. So the reason that had to pause is because she's a livestock guardian dog and her predator is dingoes, which are dogs. So we can't really have her around, have other dogs on the property around her, or she will potentially learn, oh, dog, friend. Like,
yeah, besties.
Great. Which is what my neighbor's Maremma does every time the dingo walks up to their fence. He's like, yay. He's an idiot. So he's like, a friend, yay. So we want to avoid that. But she's getting pretty solid, I think. So I don't know. I'll have to check in with some experts and see what they think about that kind of thing. Because I do see dogs from time to time that I'm like, oh, they'd probably really benefit from a farm stay. But definitely my flexibility with that is less with what we've got going on here. I'm in the same boat as everybody else. I've got, so Kiki is 12 months at the end of this month, which is crazy. Like in 10 days.
Where's the time gone?
I know. Whoa. So, and if anyone remembers from the beginning, this is my livestock guardian dog that we're talking about. I was like, oh, you're supposed to put 2 years into them and blah, 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 blah. We're halfway. And I'm seeing some really promising stuff and I'm really enjoying my time with her. But I had to get myself back into a routine. Because when Sunny died, I was like, obviously, I'm not going anywhere or doing anything. So I was like, that's it. This is me on the couch. So I took that week off work. Then I went back to work. But to manage my workload and my grief, I cut back on my extra stuff as much as I could because I was very exhausted from all that other stuff. But obviously my like chores are what keeps you well. So, you know, like I'm very grateful that I have to get out of bed and feed 57 chickens every morning. So, you know, that's good. But my more sort of structured and routine training time with Kiki and my partner's little Staffy, who we've decided is staying on, that we were sort of looking after and helping her out, and then she's staying. So she's had a rebrand and her name is Penny, because we've named her Penguin. Called her Penny because she's swimming around in circles and it's very funny. She's very stupid.
No,
she's cute. So anyway, bit out of routine with that. So I have got myself back into really spending the time with Miss Kiki. And it just pays off. Like I really am enjoying her so much and we're really on the level. Like we really understand each other at the moment, I think. She is an adolescent, so she is a goddamn nightmare. But we're on the level, I think. We've got a bit of a routine and a bit of a system and we're kind of understanding each other. And yeah, I think it's going well, which is, I'm really happy that.
That's so nice to hear.
There's the payoff. You know, it's motivating to be like, so you just need to put the time in. And yeah, but the reason I brought up Penny is because we've got two adolescent dogs here. Like,
so you got your hands full.
Yeah, she's probably about 8 months old or something, 7 or 8 months old, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, so two adolescent females, strong dogs. So yeah, bit of chaos here at times, but overall, I've integrated Penny really well with the house dogs now. So that's good. Nala's really bonded with her, which is cute that she's got someone to play with. Oliver plays with her, but not the type of play. Like he doesn't play wrestling play. He just plays running around. Play.
Yeah.
Penny does wrestling play, which is Nala's enjoying.
Cute.
It's nice. So things are going pretty good. But that's just a little tip for anyone that's, you know, just putting that time aside to spend with your dogs. Especially if you've got a dog that you're trying to work with on something. Put some time aside because it does pay off, which I know is kind of annoying because it's a bit of effort, but it does pay off. Just try and combine those things with something else that is good or enjoyable as well. So like when we do our walks in the morning, I'm like, I'm gonna like walk at a pace that's like exercise.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so you feel like you're getting your heart rate up.
Something because I've like, maybe I won't wear my pajamas on the walk, maybe I'll wear proper clothes so I can like get exercise, like
that helps.
It actually does help. So things like that. So other than that, we're going to cover some cool topics in group supervision, but also those are a time for people to bring their stuff like that's what supervision is for you to bring something to it. But we have lots of topics that pop up that are of great interest to everyone in there, and I'm making a note of those. So it's things like note taking and, you know, how to take your case notes and stuff like that. And we'll try and put together some more resources on those things so that we can continue to fill those knowledge gaps for people. I don't want everything to be in a podcast because we need people to be able to access, like, and ask us questions and show visuals that are helpful and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. So
I want to put together some extra resources for those things. Another one I want to address, I can't remember if I just said this, but it's like social media tips for posting on your social media, do's and don'ts, because we sometimes see some questionable things pop up that probably aren't in favor of the poster. So just being aware of like what types of things to stay away from and what types of things might be useful, not only for advertising your business and showing off your dog, but also supporting our industry as well. So I think that'll be cool. And then I really think that, so one of the questions that pops up a lot is the client suitability, like maybe like some kind of checklist or some kind of checks and balances for addressing client suitability for animal assisted services, which is not black and white. But there's a number of sort of questions that I ask myself, and that we use at the clinic that we kind of have learned over the years as well. And then when and how to just discharge a client from animal assisted therapy, because that is a challenge because they usually don't want that. So
yeah,
and we've got a human animal bond to consider as well most of the time. So there's those, what types of clients I won't take. So for example, I often won't take child safety kids because child safety don't follow through with their booked appointments and their funding and all those sorts of things. And so then they want them out here doing farm appointments. And I'm like, you're just going to re-traumatize these kids by bringing them out here once, maybe another time, 4 to 6 weeks later, and then never again, because they can't answer my questions. My questions are simple questions like, what's your funding allowance? Like how many sessions are you going to allow and who's bringing them? And they can't answer those questions. So I just go, well, that sounds like you can't make a commitment. So I don't think it's wise to re-traumatize a very vulnerable young person in such a manner. So
yeah, I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, how to advertise your services so that you're staying within ethical guidelines, but also, you know, communicating well to clients, and, you know, like the client has a good expectation of what is actually going to happen, because we still get clients that think that their kids are just going to come and pat the dogs and that's it, you know, which is not the case. So in the service that we provide, that can't be the case. Or we have had some funny requests in the past about things like, can we just like lie to my kid and tell them that they're here to learn dog training, and it's not
psychology. My goodness.
And I'm like, nah,
that's not exactly going to build trust.
Nope. Highly unethical. We cannot. So yeah, but I understand parents are trying, like, you know, they are desperate, so they're trying to get their kids into therapy somehow, you know, like if I could just get them to agree to go for a bit, they're probably right, you know, like that kind of thing. But we can come up with other ways to help facilitate engagement. But lying is not usually going to turn out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's all these ideas. So someone needs to start hassling me. Jane Remington is very good at hassling me about stuff. So she keeps me if I open her emails instead of just pinning them for later, because I know there's going to be a task in it. There's going to be a task in here. Pin. So yeah, she's very good at motivating me to set dates for things and get things done, which is great. So if you have something that you want or need, feel free to ask me. Heidi also is very good at emailing me 1 to 2 times a week about whatever's going on in her dog's life as well. So, which is great.
That is great.
I love it. So, and she comes to all of our Monday night adult dog classes and things like that. So don't be a stranger is what I'm saying. And I'm like taking the piss, but don't be a stranger. Like reach out if there's something that you're interested in or something that you feel a direction we should be going. Who is it that started our Western Australia peer support group?
Oh my goodness.
Gonna forget her name. No, I'm not gonna. I'm gonna remember it.
I don't know.
So Ariza is one of the dog trainers that we're working with and have been for ever. In Western Australia. And we have got, hang on. I'm going to get it. Annabelle. Yes.
PDAWA.
So Annabelle was in puppy school with us with her dog and is now in adolescent school and is in WA and is just super motivated to connect with other people on their training journey or that have finished their training and are working. Oh, because we did the podcast with the Ridgeback. Sue? Oh. No, that wasn't Sue. The Vishla.
Yeah, the Vishla. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's from WA, right? And so WA is like obviously the other side of the world, you know, like it's so
may as
far
well
away.
Be.
It's so far away, but we have heaps of teams.
Zeta. That's right.
That's the dog's name.
Yeah. With Azaleen.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, Annabelle's all bloody fired up, isn't she? So she's made us start a peer group in Western Australia. So we just made them a Facebook page. And now everyone that comes along who says they're from Western Australia, I'm like, do you want to join Annabelle's peer group? And or she gets a sniff of someone that's from Western Australia and she's like, can you please track down that person because they might want to join our peer group. And I'm like, okay. I'm
like, love just, it. I'm just so hassling, proactive.
Just hassling people just constantly. Where do you live? South Australia? No.
Pass.
Get out. You're not welcome to the Western Australia group. It's for Western Australians. Anyway, so I think that's pretty cute. So anyway, the point of that was Annabelle's headed all that up and she's, you know, piranhaing around looking for other Western Australia teams. So if you're in Western Australia, can you please email me, sam@therapydog.com.au, and I will send you in Annabelle's direction. So she has an Australian Shepherd Cross Golden Retriever and it is so cute.
Can't even picture the mix.
I've never even heard of mix. They were mixed on purpose. I can't remember the story, but anyway, It's super cute. Lovely dog. Like really, really cool dog. Mm. So that's exciting for her. Ariza has been doing our temperament assessments forever and wants to, you know, be more on the button. I'm talking to Ariza fairly regularly. And she is motivated as well to, she's done our course before.
Yeah, so that's nice.
So she wants to help support these teams as well on their training journeys and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And so she's always in contact with me and I'm always in contact with her and Annabelle and whatever and everyone else. So if you sound like an Annabelle and you're not in Western Australia, hit us up if you want us to make you a little group as well. So, but
you're like Western Australia group and then the rest of Australia group.
Hilarious. We have Eastern Australia.
Middle and Eastern.
And then Middle Australia. The South Australians and Northern Territorians. Is that what you say? Territorian? I don't know,
but we can work with that.
What about Tasmania? They have their own group.
They have their own.
We have so many teams in Tasmania.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Yep. Anyway, so, but it's obviously not something I'm going to do is run all these individual peer groups. It's not us running it. It's, you know, but if you want to get, have our help to attach, you know,
get people find
out,
in touch.
Yeah. Get people in touch with each other and find out who you are and you're motivated by that kind of thing. Let us know because we can try and sort that out. You know, what we haven't done in ages is a pack walk. And those are the kinds of things that you guys can organize in your peer group stuff in your states as well. If you're interested in that kind of thing, I will wait until it's not so hot.
Cooler.
Here. Yeah. Yep. This is not the weather for walk and talks. But what those are, if you're new, our pack walk and talks, we did a couple, like I did a couple in our area and it's fun. Like you just catch up with a couple of other teams and with the dogs and go for a walk and chat and talk and hang out and all that sort of stuff. That's a bit of fun. We've done a couple of those. We'll bring those back in 2025 when it cools down. But if you want to be involved in another state, then yeah, let us know. Is there anything else that you can think of that we need to prepare people for 2025? Anything we need from people to basically just be in touch with us?
Yeah. Send us photos of what you guys are up to. I love it when I get emails of what you guys are up to.
I love that. So great.
Yeah, please do.
If you send Maxine a photo and it's cute, it's going on the Facebook page. And if you tag us in things, it's usually going to get reshared to the story.
Yeah.
If we see it. But if you email it to us, it's going on the Facebook page for sure. Might even end up in some of our, you know, PowerPoint slides and stuff like that. Our cute photos. Oh, our calendars were so cute. Oh my God, have I got it? Yes. The calendars all got sent out. I did them in December. I was so proud of myself. Again,
look at it. Oh, it's so cute.
It's really cute.
Aww.
It's actually really cute. So, and I've got last year's as well. So now I was like, I'm going to start a calendar collection because this is so adorable.
That is adorable.
Sophie.
Oh.
I was going to hang mine under the sunny picture there.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Maybe I'll just hammer a nail into the wall. Oh my God, this photo's so cute. So anyway, I guess you guys better be ready for the 2026 calendar comp as well.
Yeah, get snapping now.
Get snapping now.
Be prepared.
Because that blew up this year. Our first year we did it, we didn't give people enough time because we thought of it late. That is a fun thing. Everyone who gets into the calendar, so it's a voting thing, so people vote on your pictures. If you get in to the calendar, you get a free calendar sent to you. But also, you know, people obviously they're in it, so they bought extras. And also some people just randomly bought the calendars as well, which I think is really cute.
Love it.
It's actually a really cute calendar. I think we sold like 37 calendars or something like that, which was more than last year.
So glad. Really cute. People are loving it.
Yeah, such a cute idea. It's no like hassle. Like, so the way that we did it this year, where I got all the pre-orders, that made it so much, and having the dates earlier made it so streamlined where I just did them all in one order.
Yeah.
And then that really helped keep costs down and things like that. Otherwise, so they, if you don't do it that way, it gets quite expensive to print the calendars and post them all out and all that. Cause I had paid for multiple shipping to us last year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That would have been.
I was like, this is like, and postage is so expensive. Like,
I know, unnecessarily so. I don't understand how it's so expensive.
And it just keeps going up and up and up. And I'm like, it's actually ridiculous that we can't just send someone a calendar without it being like, I don't know what it was, probably $6 or $7.
Oh my goodness. It's just some paper.
Once you pay.
TV.
once you pay for like the bag and have to put all the stamps on it, it's crazy. So anyway, I was like, mate, you're killing me. So that was fun. I really enjoyed that. I had a bit of fun doing that. I did not have that much fun when I was in the post office, and like I think it was like Christmas Eve or something. And I was like, it's not that fun. But actually, one lady who was there had a full-blown meltdown. And it seemed like she was probably in the wrong. So that was fun. Because then she stood out.
Entertainment.
She stood out the front of the post office on her phone, like loudly, being like, everyone who works this post office is a fucking idiot. Like shit like that. And I was like, haha. So then when I got to the front of the line, I was like, what'd you do to that lady?
Fill me in.
I was like, what happened? And they were like, they actually had multiple stories for me, the post office ladies. So I actually was paid like in entertainment value for sure for being
there. I'm so glad there was a payoff for you there.
Yeah, it was a positive experience. Yeah, it was. So well, your calendars were sent with blessings. I was having a good time. Tag along to someone else's drama because there's nothing going on in my life. So
Christmas Eve as well, very heated.
I was, and it was about like something has not arrived, and it's you know, blah, blah, blah. But she's like, yeah,
she probably ordered it yesterday, like the day before,
like
Express Post.
I get it. Like I'm also complaining about Australia Post, but like not in public and causing a scene, and you know, like
calling people names.
It's not. It's not individual. Like the lady that's working there. It's not her fault. It's not,
exactly. She hasn't personally like delayed the postage.
She didn't like take your package and like purposely like put it in someone else's package box. Like do that on purpose.
Just for fun.
It's the system. System's broken. Very bloody expensive. Which I don't understand because there's more things being posted now than ever before. Like, are you telling me it was cheaper to run the post office when a letter, like a stamp, was all that was being sent? It was like a 5-cent stamp. So you were running the whole post office off of 5-cent stamps for whatever letters people were sending. But now to send a letter is like way more than that. It's heaps more. I send
ridiculous.
The bandanas is $3 inside. Like they're considered a letter, but I think a paper letter just by itself is cheaper, like a smaller one. Is it $3 or $4.50? $3, I think. Anyway, so how is it costing, like when people are sending packages that are like $40 to send? So to me, for me to send anything, like a shirt, for example, or a collar and lead, it's automatically like $12.
Like, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
As soon as you're sending like more than a letter, it's like $12. I'm like, oh, okay, calm down. Like, I'm idiots. But anyway. Anyway. Yeah. So that's basically the update on my life. How are you, Max? Everything cool?
Yeah, everything's good. Dougie was getting really fussy, actually. Because, like, for those who don't know, Dougie's on a pretty strict diet of crocodile because he's got intolerances coming out the wazoo. And it just made for fussiness because he was just, I think, getting a little bit bored and frustrated. And so then I, feeling bad about it, would give him.
Have you tried air frying it?
He'd probably love it at first and then decide he's had enough of it.
Hilarious.
So, yeah, he was just getting a little bit fussy and I was feeling bad and giving him little tastes of things here and there. He seems okay when he has like a little taste of something. It doesn't disrupt anything.
Yeah.
But it made him even more fussy and even more of a pain to try and feed. And it was getting to the point where I was having to do like activities for everything just to get him to eat just enough. And he'd just be like, no. But we're back on track now. So
how'd you get him back on track?
He doesn't get any little tastes and snacks and things outside of meal times at the moment. Made a massive difference. But I think what also was tough for him is we've got a senior cat, Simba, who's in his 18th year. And he's been having a hard time with just like eating, and he's quite fussy too. And so cooking pork or cooking salmon or cooking chicken, and then Dougie's smelling all of that and can't have any of that, the poor thing. So I've also been like setting his meal times to be outside of those hours a little bit
more. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and just cutting back a little bit on like, because his treats are like, I have a dehydrator that I dehydrate his crocodile mints in. So he gets like pure crocodile treats. And he was just getting bored, stopped being, and I don't blame him. So I've just like, I'm not giving him those at the moment. I've just thought, you need a break. Found something else. It's really hard to find crocodile, like crocodile treats, crocodile anything.
Have you found people that do the feet?
Yeah, but he's fussy. Yeah. So he might have it one day and then he won't have it the next day. And he prefers soft food over crunchy food. And oh my God, it's been a whole rigmarole. But
who'd have thought that an oodle could be such a nightmare?
So fussy. So fussy. And it's like not even his fault, really. Like I don't blame him. Like stuck on the one meat. But yeah, we're getting back into a bit of a
Have you got a plan? Are you able to reintroduce another protein?
So the last time I did that, I did goat last year, and I thought it was going quite well. At first, he wasn't having any diarrhea, but he was starting to display some itchiness, but it wasn't enough for me to go, okay, we have to stop. But eventually we had a little incident where he met this little dash hound, and he's got a dash hound that lives down the road called Billy. He just loves her. They're besties. And she is friends with this other little dash hound called Artemis anyway. And he'd met Artemis a few times, but they were having a play date, and I was making Dougie sit for a treat, and I thought those two dogs were on the like far away enough, because he resource guards as well, and it comes out when he's not feeling well. Anyway, and they're running over, and so he turned on Artemis and had a little bit of a rah, 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 rah. I mean, Artemis was fine, but it was a bit of a scare for the parents and for Artemis.
So did you ground him from goat forever?
Yes, he's not on goat anymore, and I've tried everything else.
Oh, because you can think he resource guards when he's like physically uncomfortable.
Yeah, when he doesn't feel well and he's having food that he shouldn't have, he starts getting really snappy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just when he's not feeling well.
Complicated.
But well, diet I'm yet to is try very emu.
Linked to behavior. Oh,
exactly. Yeah, I'm yet to try emu. So that's a novel one. I tried to give him.
What about bison?
Bison? No, he hasn't tried
wild boar.
Yeah, he hasn't tried boar yet. I know they've got a Prime 100 boar, which I've been meaning to try. So he hasn't tried that yet. But honestly, I think I was a little bit scarred after his incident with Artemis, because it's so unlikely, like so unusual for him. He's such a, he's very sweet and social. But yeah, it gave me a bit of a fright, because I hadn't quite like joined the dots yet that was probably not an appropriate meat. So
you're like, whoa, the dots just smack you straight in the face.
Yeah, literally just punched me in the face. But he's doing well.
Prime 100 have got like a hemp as well.
The pea and algae, you mean?
That must be it. I haven't used it in ages.
He had it the first time and then he just spat it out and didn't have it again.
Yeah, it's probably not as delicious.
Yeah. But he's on the crocodile prime 100. He's also got the slow cooked, which he's a bit hit and miss with. And then he gets his treats. But the nosh, the vegetable nosh treats. Have you heard of them? Like coconut and banana and like chia and raspberry. He's liking those, which is just a huge surprise. So he has them with his dinner, like as a topper.
I wonder what it is in those that he likes.
It's really unusual.
Like if it was coconut and you could just use coconut oil, that'd be handy.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, too much coconut oil seems to upset his tummy too.
Yeah, being an oil.
Yeah, but not even coconut. Not even that much, like
tiny bit.
I don't know. It's all very, it's very hard. But you know what I did? I purchased a like a food sensitivity test. And I know that some people say they don't work. So I'm not, you know, holding much to it, but I need to, I'm sending that in. So I just purchased that. So I have to like take like five of his hairs and then I'll post it off. But there were people in the, like, I think it's like Dog Allergies Australia Facebook group that were saying they had pretty good success with that. So I'm going to try that and see if, yeah, that gives me just a little bit of guidance, because it's kind of just, you're just kind of rolling around in the dark.
I had to find something. I used to say Sunny was allergic to beef, but then I learned the correct term is intolerant. He had diarrhea the first 6 or 7 months until I figured out what it was. Just could not figure out what it was.
And it's in a lot of things that you don't even realize it's in either.
It's in, beef is in everything.
Yeah.
Because it's like they use it as a filler. So, but I did went through the same thing, like elimination as well.
What did you use to for his elimination?
Those prime rolls. So I don't remember what all the flavors are now because I don't use them anymore because I can't be bothered cutting them up. But it was all those prime ones. It was things like crocodile and salmon, but it was only beef. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't black. It was pretty straightforward, but it was kibble as well. So because I fed him kibble, maybe it wasn't 6 months. Maybe it was the first 3 months of his life that I had him. So but I figured it out eventually, but it was a nightmare.
It's so tough. I have it so good in comparison to other people. Like some of the stuff on the Facebook groups, just devastating. I don't know how people go through some of it. So quite lucky in comparison, but it's just a lot. But yeah, we're getting back to a bit of a routine with eating where I can put the bowl down and he'll actually eat his food without me having to like do circus tricks.
Well, and I mean, really, like the majority of that you just explained was changing your routine. So it was all behavioural. So,
And just reducing the food bits.
Intake, yeah, reducing the
food. And maybe it was making him feel unwell too. Like even little tastes, maybe he was just feeling a bit off and that was putting him off his food too. Yeah. So, we've just gone back to basics, which has really helped.
Yeah.
Mm.
There you go. But behaviour linked to diet, definitely. So,
massive link.
All grumpy and upset. That makes sense. So, well, I mean, we do it. So,
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
I know, Narelle, you've been using some of Narelle's stuff as well, canine ceuticals.
Gut Restore. Gut Protect.
EEA. There's just no way that you wouldn't need that stuff. Like, if your dog's that sensitive, there's just no way that you don't need to do something to help restore the gut.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And he won't. I've like done fresh cooked crocodile. So I've made like balanced fresh cooked crocodile meals. He won't touch it, doesn't want it. So that's also been really hard for me because I'm such a fresh food advocate and I've had to go back to like less of it just to get
him to the prime eat meals better. Are fine. The prime rolls are good.
Yeah,
are
the they, prime, like, they're good.
Oiled or something?
Yeah, I think they're steamed. But it's very limited. Like, you know, in terms of like his gut bacteria and the microbiome, it's pretty, you know,
right. Limiting. Yeah.
But with baby steps. So now we're getting back to basics. Then I'll start reintroducing and seeing what happens.
I thought it was red meat. Mm. I thought it was red meat. No, it's,
oh, so just it's red sunny. Meat in general.
Yes. And then I and it was, because if I gave him kangaroo, it would be like explosive diarrhea. It was red meat. And then it got better.
It got better.
It got better. So he could have that. Well, not anymore. He's not here. But he could have, he could even have beef. Yeah. It's an intolerance. It's like not an allergy. So, yeah, it was very, and I was adamant Like, I was one of those annoying people that's like, he's allergic. Like, everyone was like, okay, it's an intolerance.
Yeah, I always catch myself as well when I say allergy because I do mean intolerance.
Yeah.
So nice to get to the stage where he can have something.
Yeah. And people would argue with me because they'd be like, there's a dog, like, he can eat red meat. And I'd be like, okay, well, you look after him for a night and you feed him red meat and you see what happens.
Yeah, tell me how it goes.
And it was, like, explosive. It was every time, explosive diarrhea. So, yeah, but I just did the elimination thing. And, yeah, just gradually, like, I think it must just repair their gut when they don't have the constant, like, assault on it.
Yeah, the inflammation.
Yeah, that's it. And then I just gradually like introduced things here and there, and he was interesting.
Oh, well, maybe there's still hope one day. Leave off crocodile. It's very expensive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but those single proteins, like, they are, and that's why everything's got so many proteins in it, you know, like, because it's cheaper to mix all that shit together. It's pretty expensive to make that single protein stuff. So, yeah, I understand why it's expensive to buy, but, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It's a crocodile.
Of all the meats. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You'd think if he can have crocodile. So I thought that the idea was to get him on a novel protein that they've not had before and then let them repair their gut from there and then start reintroducing proteins that, like, shouldn't be offensive, was my understanding. Like, can he have an egg?
He seems okay on an egg, but he, like, the itching kind of kicks in. So you can occasionally have one, but I've noticed that when he has something consistently, like, he'll start itching more and more.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not enough for me to really know if it's something that his tummy can, like, learn to cope with or if it's something that it's just, like, hinting at something else.
I thought Kiki was getting a bit itchy and maybe a little bit inflamed, like, she loves Pats, but she just sort of was scratching and wanted me to scratch her. Was that the change of the season, like, into spring or summer or whatever? I don't know. It wasn't that long ago. So maybe summer. I don't know. And I was like, oh, pollen maybe? Like, what's, I don't know. And I started giving her, like, our neighbor makes honey. My neighbor's bees make honey. And I had some jars of honey. I don't need it. I don't really like honey, but I've got all these jars of honey that they've given me. No. So it's, like, from the beehives that are in. So his hives are just over our fence. So they're, like, in our yard. And I put honey in her feed for a couple of weeks.
Really?
Itchy.
Oh, I should try that.
They say to do it for people, I think. Or maybe I dreamt that and made it up and no one's ever said that. But I think people say, like, because it's got all of your pollens. It's all your local pollens
are in that would make honey. Sense, wouldn't it?
So if it's, like, an environmental, which
there would definitely be an environmental element there. Because I do notice the change of season does impact the itching as well. So
there you go.
Yeah, I'll give that a go.
Thanks, so it was, like, all our bees that are living in our, the bees are in drinking. So the reason he put them down there, the hives, is because you put beehives near water because they drink the water. They're drinking from our dam all day and they're in our yard all the time. There's bees everywhere, like, you know, not like a swarm of bees, but, like, there's always bees. So they must be interacting with all of our environment, you know? So
I was like, exactly.
Fuck it. I'm just gonna give her some honey. And she's, like, not itchy. So I don't know. I don't like I haven't kept doing it. Like, because she seems fine. So I don't know.
Clever. All right. Well, we'll give that one a go, won't we?
Interesting. All right, we'll wrap it up so that everyone can get on with their life. If they're still listening.
Thank you if you're still listening.
Yeah, so excited for 2025. Thank you everybody for 2024 and your continued support into 2025. We need to start saying that people need to like, rate, subscribe, whatever.
Yeah, we do need to say that. Yes, please do. Yeah. Leave a review.
That'd be good.
Unless it's one star, then don't.
Yeah, then
leave a good review.
Like, you can email your complaints to complaints@therapydog.com.au. It might bounce back. Nah. Yeah, if you like the podcast, leave us a review. Obviously, yeah, takes us a fair bit of time to do, but I enjoy doing it and bringing the content to people, and also being able to refer. I'm referring people back to episodes of the podcast all the time. Because it's the area for us to get into these like more meaty discussions of topics. And instead of me just replying to your email with like three lines, to kind of just get your email off of my to-do list, I can now send people back to like, oh, actually, so here's your three sentence answer, but also there's more detail it's talked through in all these podcasts back here and back here and back here. So yeah, we enjoy doing it, but if you could, yeah, like it or whatever you do to podcasts, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
In advance. All right, I'll see you soon.
Thank you. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in studying with Therapy Dogs Australia, or you have a few more questions before deciding, please get in touch with us by emailing courses@therapydog.com.au or visiting our website at www.therapydog.com.au for more information and FAQs.